Hello, welcome to the Rethink Your Understanding podcast, where we dive deep into transformative insights on leadership, agile, lean, DevOps, value stream management, and flow engineering. I'm your human host, Phil Clark. I've been leading technology teams for over two decades in both eras of software delivery. In each episode, the AI-generated hosts dive into key concepts and insights from my articles and blog posts. While this conversation is generated by AI, there may be occasional errors or misinterpretations that differ slightly from the original material. Join me as we explore and improve our understanding of digital transformation. I hope this inspires you to read the original article and reach out to me to collaborate. You will find a link to the article in the show notes. Also, if you enjoyed today's episode, please like, rate, and follow us on your podcast provider of choice. Your support helps us reach more listeners, and every review counts. Stay tuned for more thought-provoking content, and thanks for being part of our podcast experiment and journey. In this episode, we examine the growing trend of cutting agile leadership roles like Scrum Masters. While often viewed as a cost-saving move, I argue this approach harms team effectiveness and productivity. The AI hosts share my experience evolving the role into an agile delivery manager focused on flow metrics and value stream management, contrasting it with a parent company's decision to distribute these tasks. We discuss the hidden costs of removing such roles, including added burden on managers, reduced flow efficiency, and weakened team culture. The takeaway? Agile leadership is essential for balanced delivery, continuous improvement, and long-term team health. Let's dive in.
So you know how we were just talking about that article from Phil Clark, the one on RethinkYourUnderstanding.com?
Yeah. The why cutting agile leadership hurts teams more than it saves.
Right. That one. Well, we thought it'd be interesting to kind of like really dig into that whole idea, you know?
Yeah.
Because it brings up a question a lot of folks, especially in software development, are probably thinking about.
Totally. Like when companies decide to cut those dedicated agile leadership roles, you know, like Scrum Masters and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Are they really saving money?
Yeah.
Or are they just kind of, you know, creating more problems for themselves later on down the road?
And Phil's article, it's cool because it comes from what they've actually seen and done in his own organization. So it's not just like theory.
Right. Real world stuff. He's seen how different team structures actually play out. And that's what we want to unpack today. Like, what are the hidden costs? The stuff people don't always see right away.
And also how the whole idea of agile leadership, how's that changing? How's that evolving?
Good point. Because it's not like a one-size-fits-all thing, right?
Exactly. Now, if this whole conversation gets you thinking, and we're pretty sure it will, it's probably a good idea to check out Phil's full article. You know, head over to RethinkYourUnderstanding.com, get the whole picture.
Totally agree.
Okay, so let's jump in. Phil starts off by talking about a trend that, honestly, a lot of us have probably seen happening.
Yeah.
Companies cutting Scrum Master roles or similar positions like trying to save money.
Makes sense on the surface, right? Like fewer people, smaller payroll, boom, savings.
Exactly. Simple math.
And the idea is often like, okay, as teams get more mature, more self-sufficient, they don't need a dedicated, you know, coach or facilitator anymore.
Right. Like they can handle it themselves.
So then those responsibilities, they get spread around. Engineering managers pick up stuff like agile execution, delivery, product managers are doing the backlog, running meetings, coordinating, and then the team members themselves, they got to manage the ceremonies, the tracking, all that.
It sounds kind of chaotic when you say it like that.
It can be, yeah.
I mean, it's tempting to think, oh, mature team, they're like a well-oiled machine. But Phil's experience, it paints a different picture. He talks about his own company's journey through all this.
Right. How they went from waterfall to Scrum and then eventually landed on Kanban and Flow.
And it's interesting because they didn't just change the process, right?
Nope. They adapted the agile leadership role too. It's like they realized the leadership needed to evolve along with the team.
So they moved from like traditional Scrum Masters.
Yep. To what they called agile leaders and then eventually agile delivery managers. It shows that agile leadership, it's not static. It's got to adapt.
Totally. It's got to grow with the team.
Yeah.
And it really hits home when Phil compares this to what their parent company did.
Oh, yeah. They went a completely different direction.
They ditched both Scrum Master and QA roles.
Wow.
Pushed all those duties onto product and engineering managers.
That's a lot.
And Phil's point is, it's not that this is automatically a terrible move. It's just that it changes the team dynamics. And they found it actually made things less effective in the long run.
Yeah, like you might be saving some money up front, but what are you losing down the line? It's a trade-off.
Exactly, exactly. Phil then talks about this big shift his company made back in 2020, 2021.
Ah, this is when they adopted value stream management, VSM.
Right. And at that point, their agile leader, they became responsible for VSM. That's actually what led to the Agile Delivery Manager title.
Makes sense. Their role got even bigger. It wasn't just about facilitating anymore. It was about like leading VSM, you know, doing flow engineering, making sure the whole delivery system was healthy.
And this is where the listener, you really start to see those hidden costs that Phil's talking about.
Totally.
It's not just about salaries. It's like, what are you giving up when you don't have dedicated Agile leadership? Think about engineering managers, for example.
Yeah.
They're already dealing with technical leadership, hiring, mentoring, architecture decisions.
Right. A lot on their plate.
And then on top of all that, you're going to add agile execution. Come on.
Yeah. It's like asking them to be process experts and team facilitators, too.
It's too much.
Right. It's overload.
Yeah.
And that can take them away from all that important strategic technical stuff. It could even slow down team growth and stifle innovation.
And then you've got product managers who are supposed to be focused on market strategy, the roadmap, understanding what customers need.
That picture stuff.
Exactly. And then suddenly they're bogged down in daily agile tasks and team coordination.
They lose sight of the forest for the trees.
It's like everyone's getting pulled in too many directions.
Totally.
And then there's the impact on the actual work being done.
Oh, yeah, that's crucial.
Phil says that without someone specifically focused on agile, teams tend to just crank out features, you know?
Feature factory mode.
Yeah. And stuff like tech debt, security, bug fixes.
Important, but not flashy.
It all gets pushed aside.
Yeah.
Because there's no one there to make sure all those things are getting in the attention they deserve.
No one's there to champion the less glamorous work.
And what's really interesting is this whole concept of neutrality. Like the Agile Delivery Manager, as Phil describes it, they're not tied to the same incentives as a product manager or an engineering manager.
Yeah, they're playing a different game.
The product manager is all about features. The engineering manager, they're probably prioritizing technical excellence.
And the ADM, they're focused on the flow, the health of the entire system.
It's a more holistic view.
Exactly. They're looking at the big picture to make sure everything's balanced for the long haul.
And it's not just about the work, right? It's about the team environment, too.
Oh, absolutely. Culture matters.
Phil really stresses that agile leaders, they're key for creating psychological safety.
Yeah, like that feeling that it's okay to take risks, to make mistakes, to speak up.
Right. And they help shape a positive team culture. They drive continuous improvement. They're not just there to run a meeting, you know.
It's deeper than that. They're building trust, building alignment within the team.
And if you lose that, well,
it can really hurt morale and productivity down the line. And that can be, you know, really costly in the long run.
And Phil actually points out that some companies, they've tried getting rid of these roles.
Right.
And then they had to bring them back.
Because things went south.
Yeah, like delivery slowed down, morale tanked. It's like they had to learn the hard way.
Yeah, a costly experiment.
So let's get specific. When agile leadership responsibilities get spread around instead of having someone dedicated to it.
Right.
What are the negative consequences that Phil talks about?
Well, he mentions increased cognitive load, which, you know, when you think about it.
Totally makes sense.
You're just piling more stuff onto people who are already busy.
Overload.
Exactly. Mm. Now, engineering managers, they're supposed to provide technical guidance, plus facilitate agile ceremonies, track metrics, work on optimizing flow.
Wow.
And product managers, on top of their product vision and backlog stuff, they're also responsible for making sure delivery runs smoothly and that the team is coordinated.
It's like they're being asked to wear all the hats.
Too many hats.
Right.
And it dilutes their effectiveness because they can't focus on what they're best at.
And then that cognitive overload, it leads to, well, less efficient flow, less team alignment.
Which ultimately impacts the quality and the speed of delivery.
Right. Things start to slip.
Yeah. And Phil suggests that this can lead to a focus on just churning out features as quickly as possible.
Just get it out the door.
Exactly. But then those crucial longer-term investments, like maintaining the system, keeping it healthy and sustainable.
It all takes a backseat.
It gets neglected. And without someone dedicated to overseeing the flow of value, the focus shifts to just getting individual features done.
Short-term thinking.
Right. And that's not good for the long-term health of the product. And it can also lead to a lack of ownership over making sure all the different types of work are balanced, you know?
Features, tech debt, bug fixes.
All that. It needs to be in harmony.
Harmony. I like that. But, you know, maybe the most worrying thing.
Yeah, this is the big one.
Is the potential damage to team culture and agile practices.
Right.
If there's no one dedicated to facilitating stuff like retrospectives or championing continuous improvement,
things can get stale.
Exactly. And Phil, he really drives home the point that when psychological safety and team culture take a hit, it affects everything.
Engagement, retention, project success, it's all connected.
So it's not just about, you know, saving a few bucks on a salary.
Yeah.
It's about the ripple effect.
Totally.
So Syl talks about the Agile Delivery Manager, or ADM, as a more evolved version of this role.
It's not just a fancy new name for a Scrum Master.
Right. It's more strategic, more comprehensive. It's about ensuring Agile leadership is a focused, valuable part of the team.
They're the champions of Agile.
Yeah. Phil highlights that ADMs are all about focused Agile leadership, using flow metrics and value stream management to make the whole system work better. And
this is key.
Making sure teams find that balance between new features and, you know, keeping the system healthy, like addressing tech debt and security stuff.
Keeping the lights on while building new stuff.
Right. And remember that neutrality thing we talked about.
Yeah.
That's super important here.
Crucial.
Because ADMs, they don't have the same biases as, say, a product manager who's all about features or an engineering manager who's focused on technical stuff.
They're looking at the whole picture.
They can see the whole system without being tied to one specific type of work.
So they can make sure the effort is distributed fairly so everything gets the attention it needs.
Which ultimately leads to better results in the long run.
More sustainable outcomes, absolutely.
Now, Phil brings in some insights from other Agile experts, too, about Scrum Masters. And it's interesting how those core ideas still apply, even as the role is evolving.
Right, right. He talks about Gunther Verheyen, Jeff Watts, the Scrum.org blog.
All of them emphasize the Scrum Master's role in empowering teams to self-manage, to continuously improve, and, you know, get good stuff done.
They're like the guides, not the dictators.
And what's really important is this idea of enabling the team, not just managing them.
Right. Create the environment for them to thrive, take ownership.
And there's this warning, too, that without a Scrum Master or a similar role, teams can easily slip back into old habits.
The bad old days.
Yeah, like just reporting status instead of actually collaborating.
Or going back to that command and control style of management.
And focusing on short-term gains, even if it hurts the system in the long run.
It's like taking two steps back after taking one step forward.
And Phil makes this great point about the Agile leader's role actually becoming more strategic as the team gets better.
It's like they level up.
Exactly. It's not that they become less necessary.
Right.
They shift their focus to optimizing the whole flow of work, making sure different teams are aligned, and basically looking after the long-term health and efficiency of the entire delivery process.
They become guardians of the system.
I love that. Guardians of the system.
It's a cool way to think about it.
It is. And Phil, he shares some comparisons from his own organization where they have teams with ADMs and teams without.
Interesting. So they can see the difference firsthand.
Right. And he says it's pretty striking. Like the engineering managers on teams without an ADM, they struggle to juggle all the responsibilities.
Makes sense. You're asking them to do too much.
Yeah. One minute they're leading a technical discussion. The next they're trying to facilitate a retrospective.
Context switching all day long.
And Phil says this leads to their impact being diluted.
It's spread too thin.
Right. It's not just that, you know, the ceremonies aren't as effective. It's that all those important aspects, team health, value delivery, process improvement.
They suffer.
They get neglected.
Yeah.
And these teams, they end up being more reactive.
Putting out fires instead of preventing them.
Now, Phil does admit that there might be some super high-performing, mature teams out there that could manage without a formal Agile leadership role.
The unicorns.
But even then, he asks this really important question. Who's in charge of the big picture stuff?
This steering the ship.
Right, like who's reporting on delivery health? Who's making sure everything's aligned with business goals? Who's pushing for continuous improvement across the whole system?
Because even on amazing teams, someone needs to own that. Otherwise, it falls through the cracks.
So Phil's main point is there's no one right model for every organization.
Right. It depends.
Depends on the context, the team's maturity, the culture. But he stresses that you have to understand what you're giving up if you choose to eliminate that dedicated agile leadership role.
Yeah, don't just focus on the money you might save on salary.
Think about the potential costs down the road, like team misalignment, missed opportunities for improvement, lower quality delivery, decreased team performance.
Hidden costs.
Exactly. And to be clear about what the ADM role looks like in his organization, Phil breaks down the key responsibilities, and it's a lot more than just running meetings.
It's like being a conductor of an orchestra.
Right.
Making sure everyone is in sync, playing the right notes at the right time.
It's about true agile leadership, focusing on flow-based delivery, making sure teams are aligned.
Removing obstacles, keeping things moving.
And creating that psychological safety so the team can actually, you know, do their best work.
Be their best selves.
Right. And then there's the value stream management and flow metric stuff. Leading those review sessions, tracking those key metrics like flow time and flow efficiency.
Data-driven decisions.
And crucially, making sure there's enough investment in keeping the system healthy, not just pushing out features.
Sustainability, playing the long game.
Yes. And then there's all the cross-team collaboration and dependency management stuff, making sure leadership is on the same page, coordinating between teams to manage dependencies, smooth out any friction in the process.
The glue that holds it all together.
And all of this leads to what Phil calls the unicorn problem.
Yeah, yes. The mythical beast.
The idea that you can just expect your product managers and engineering managers to pick up all this extra agile leadership work on top of what they're already doing.
Right. It's like expecting them to be experts in everything.
He talks about T-shaped leaders, V-shaped leaders, but realistically.
True unicorns, they're rare.
You're not going to find someone who's a master of technical leadership, product strategy, agile facilitation, team coaching, and flow metrics all at the same time.
If you find one, let me know. I want to meet them.
Seriously. So Phil's overall message is that having a dedicated agile leadership role, whether it's a scrum master, an agile leader, or an agile delivery manager,
right,
it generally leads to better flow, stronger alignment between business goals and what actually gets delivered, more sustainable team execution, and just a happier, healthier team culture.
It's an investment worth making.
And he leaves us with this really important question to consider. Who in your organization is really focused on making sure that balance is maintained?
That balance between new features, tech debt, security, bug fixes.
If there's no one specifically responsible for that, it's probably not being managed well. And that can lead to some serious problems later on.
It's a ticking time bomb.
Exactly. So that's Phil's take on things. What do you think? Have you seen companies make this mistake?
I've seen it happen, yeah. And it rarely ends well.
Right. So have you ever worked on a team where agile leadership was kind of like an afterthought? What happened? Did things fall apart? We'd love to hear your experiences. Let's keep this conversation going.
Yeah. Tell us your stories.
And by the way, if you want to get the full scoop on Phil's thoughts, head over to RethinkYourUnderstanding.com and read his article, Why Cutting Agile Leadership Hurts Teams More Than It Saves. It's really worth a read.
Totally. Lots of good insights in there.
And as you're thinking about all this, here's something else to ponder. In the world of software development, which is getting more and more complex every day, is the role of an agile delivery manager actually becoming even more crucial?
Like, maybe it's not just optional anymore.
Maybe it's essential for sustained success, a healthy product, and just keeping those development teams happy and productive. What do you think?
Something to think about.